went home with some awesome items that worked. Okay, me too. And it's so fun because I get to wear something new and my husband was like, where'd you get that? And this is what he's thinking. Well, then that means I get to go shopping. And I tell him, I got the clothing exchange. And he's like, darn it. So the guys could have one too, you know. I think there is definite need and we should have them definitely once a year for sure, right? Okay. Hot two a year? Is there two a year? You're going three? Three? Okay, and the next thing down on the bottom is beach days. And our first one kicks off tomorrow. And it is for any of you ladies that want to come and bring your kids. And last year, I think we had, 28 or 29 kids in the water while all of us moms were like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like us against 1,000. But we would love to see you out there. If you have off tomorrow, just come along and bring a sack lunch. We're going to be there from 10 to 2 at La Jolla Shores, and all of the directions and places we're going to be is right here. We're going to be going through the book of Jude, and so we're going to have just a really loose, very quick Bible study with all of our kids going like this all around us. So it's okay. It's all good. So we're going to wing it. And so if you need one of these, make sure you grab one on the way out, and it will also remind you of the next two summer nights that we'll be having as well this summer. So tonight, I am super excited to have one of my friends here tonight to speak and to give her God story to us. I met Shannon, a handful and a half of years ago at a pastor's wives retreat, and she lives in Phoenix. And, you know, we get together and we are sure we're going to see each other once a year. And for, 6 or 7 years, we've seen each other once a year. And, you know, when you get together with someone just once a year and you're just like, oh, you were like, if you live next door, you know, we would be a force to be reckoned with. And so I remember this first time we met her, me and Diane were rooming together, and she schooled us in Bananagrams. We stayed up all night, we played, and she was ridiculously good, and it was not very fun to play. And then, to top that off, at about 9:30, 10, she pulls out a shaker, and she drinks her protein drink. And I was like, oh, this is a girl. I think we're going to be friends, you know? So not only does she have this love for games and love for fitness and nutrition, she also has a love for God's word and for the women at her church. She actually runs the women's ministry and teaches at her church. And so I know she knows the heart of women. And she is excited to be here tonight to share with you the story that God has laid on her heart. So would you welcome Shannon with me tonight?
I'm a crier, so forgive me now if I shed tears. Thank you all so much for having me tonight. I am so excited. When Bethany called me and asked me to come and share my God story, my immediate reaction was yes, because God is so good, and he's given all of us, hopefully in this room, a great story. And so I'm really excited to share with you all tonight what God has done in my life. And it's true, we met at the Pastor's Wives Conference, and I felt the exact same way as Bethany. I think we were even comparing exercise moves in one of the rooms. I thought, okay, this is good. And then Diane and Bethany and I were just, you know, awesome. And then they both came out to our to Phoenix in April and did our women's retreat. So that was such a blessing and so funny. And you'll have to ask Bethany and Diane the stories, because it was one of those really funny, funny times. It just is never going to happen again in history, the things that happened at that retreat. But I do the women's ministry at our church, and God has given me a heart for women. and I'm really excited to share with you tonight. But I want to pray, because hopefully my voice isn't shaking, because I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. So will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come before you, and thank you so much. Thank you for bringing us all to this place. Thank you, Lord, that you know all of our hearts, that you love us deeply and in such an amazing way. Lord, I pray that tonight you would put your words in my mouth. God, that you would minister to all of our hearts, Lord, your love and your care for each and every one of us. We love you, and we pray you be glorified tonight in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the first thing I'd like to do is share with you a verse, and I have quite a few verses in my story, so you don't feel like you have to turn there, because I'm going to have you all over the place. But the first verse I just want to share is Galatians 6:14, and it says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And before I share my testimony with you, I just want to say the only thing I want to boast about is what God has done, because he's done great and mighty things for me. So I'm sharing my story, but only for the purpose of sharing God's story and how he took my story and made it a God story, and it's so cool. So just starting from scratch, I was born in 1973. My parents were very young. 73 out there? Woo-woo! Thank you. Feeling the love. My parents were very young, and they divorced when I was 8 months old. So really, really young parents. And my dad disappeared. He was not a part of my life. And my mom was young, and she had this baby, and she was so lost. And it's 1973. So my mom is doing her thing, partying a lot, and making some really poor choices, and was not in it. Like, you know, she wasn't a mom yet. She was still a kid, really, and selfish. And I'm not talking about her. She would say the same things if she was standing here. But she did make some bad choices. And some of those bad choices were just bringing people into the home that maybe weren't trustworthy people. And I was sexually abused at a very young age, more than one time. And as I grew up, I had all of these feelings of shame and feelings of being unwanted and abandoned and unworthy and forgettable. And those thoughts and feelings really plagued me all of my years growing up. There was so much insecurity and self-loathing that as a young kid, you don't understand why you feel these things, but you feel them. They're very real. And I remember as a kid even looking in the mirror, and you know how people say, look in the mirror and say, you are beautiful, and you are special, and darn it, people really like you, right? But when I was a kid, I would look in the mirror, and I would say things like, you are so stupid. Why are you so dumb? You are so ugly. No one loves you. And I used to literally out loud say these things to myself in the mirror. And I look back at that and think, where did that come from? Such lies that the enemy had allowed me to be told and that played over and over in my mind and in my heart and really shaped the person that I became as a kid and as even a young adult. When I was 14 years old, I heard the gospel for the very first time, and my mom heard the gospel too, and we both accepted the Lord when I was 14, and we got plugged into church right away. And we were going to a Calvary Chapel in Hereford, Arizona. You guys are like, where's that? Yeah, that's the question. Now it's Calvary Chapel Sierra Vista, which a lot of you might know of Sierra Vista, Arizona. But when it started, it was Calvary Chapel on Hereford Road. And it was just as backcountry as it sounds. But that became our home, and we were there whenever the doors were open. That was where we were. I got really plugged in. I started serving, going to youth group, you know, and it was like a place where I felt like I was accepted and I belonged. And graduated from high school, and my mom said, well, I said, I'm going to move in with my friend. We're going to go to Colorado. I'm going to hair school. And my mom said, you are 17 years old, and you are going to Bible college for one semester. And so I went kicking and screaming to Calvary Chapel Bible College. And back in the day, it was in Twin Peaks, California, if any of you guys have ever been up to those conference centers up there. And I went to Bible college. And after one semester, I was hooked, and I wanted to stay. And hair school was on the back burner, and I didn't want to do that anymore. So I went to Bible college and really enjoyed my time there. During Bible college, we were asked to go on a mission trip to an orphanage in Mexico and work with the special needs children there. And so I went to get my credits. I was scared to go because it was, you know, a place I'd never been. I didn't know what to expect. Well, I got there and fell in love with the children and the place and told everyone that was there on our team, I'm not going back to school. Just ship me my stuff. I am not going to finish Bible college. This is where I'm supposed to be. And it's actually a really funny backstory, but my pastor now, actually we went to Bible college together, and he was on that trip as well. And so he laughs now because he remembers saying, Shannon, get in the van. We are going back to school. You can come back after you graduate. And I thought, that is exactly what I'm going to do. I am going to graduate Bible college, and I'm going to come back to this orphanage, and I'm going to serve here. And that is what I did. I graduated Bible college and immediately went on to the orphanage there in Mexico. And I served there for about 2 years, and it was wonderful. And these are children who have very special needs. And in that, at least that area of Mexico, these children are very oftentimes abandoned because they can't work to help the family. And they're a lot of work, and they cost a lot of money. And so it's actually a ministry out of Applegate Christian Fellowship, which is John Corson's church, and they founded this orphanage, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time of my life. I ended up in a relationship and really thought God was just doing something awesome. And then that relationship fell apart, and it was really, really hard. And I went spiraling into the world and so far away from the Lord. And you think, how does that happen? How can you be saved, serve in your church, go to Bible college, graduate Bible college, go to the mission field for 2 years, and then turn your back on the Lord and walk so far away? But that is exactly what I did. And I went into the world, and I had fun for a while. You know, now in hindsight, I know how it happened. I know exactly how it happened. Because when I accepted the Lord, it kind of ended for me there. I said that prayer. I accepted the Lord. I went through the motions of my Christianity, but I never really sought after the Lord with all of my heart. So I knew of God, and I did many things in God's name, but I didn't really know him. I didn't really know him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I didn't do that. I didn't seek the Lord to find him. I believed in him, but I knew nothing of his heart. I knew nothing of God's heart for me. And I sat in church, you know, I did all of that, but I never really went there with the Lord. So I was kind of sitting on the sidelines in my walk with the Lord. I had my fire insurance. Now, if you would have asked me, I wouldn't have called it that, because I was just kind of coasting along, sitting in church, hearing the message, but not going home and digging into the Word. Not going home and spending that time with the Lord and allowing him to do that work in my heart. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 9 says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." That was not me. My roots were not planted deeply. And when the heat came in the form of this trial in my life, I withered. I withered and I was dead, dead. So when those hard times came, I ran to the world. And while I was there, I met a man named Matt, who is now my husband. He swears that I backslid so I could get him out of that bar. Bring him with me. You know, he says that. You know, but I met Matt, and we started a relationship. And he didn't know the Lord either, and we were just kind of doing our thing in the world. Nothing about me looked like I was a Christian. Nothing about me showed any marks of me being to Bible college and me being on the mission field and all of those things, because the world had so darkened me. I had no hope. I was just in it for whatever, whenever, however, didn't matter, with no thought of the Lord at all. You just think, wow, that's crazy. But it happened. But God. I love when I read the word and you're reading something in the word and it's like, ugh. And then it says, but God. It's like, oh, wow. Because nothing is too gone and nothing is too far and no one is too lost for the Lord's hand to reach. So after a few years, the Lord began to just knock on my heart. And I started to feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit that I had not felt in years. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. When I was faithless, when I was so unfaithful to him, when I ran and I turned my back on God and basically said, "I want nothing to do with you," he was still faithful. He can't deny himself. Faithfulness is his very character. But God. I ran from him and he chased me. I've heard of people calling the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. And it's so true. Just that gentle nudging on my heart, like, girl, it's time for you to get back. You need to get back. Matthew 18:12 says, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?" Isaiah 40:11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart." And I was that sheep that had gone astray. And praise God that he came, and he carried me close to his heart. I've heard a teaching before talking about a shepherd. And if there was a lamb, say, that got caught in, like, the thicket or the fences or was injured, he would go out and he would find that lamb, and he would, and maybe you've seen pictures of shepherds, he would take the lamb by the legs and he'd throw him over the shoulders and he'd carry the lamb right here across the back of his shoulders and hold the lamb's legs. And I never thought about it before, but someone had said that a shepherd, you know, a sheep herder that he knew, said that he did that because he could feel the lamb's heartbeat. So he knew as he was walking with this lamb that the lamb was okay. I think, boy, I was on those shoulders a long time, a really long time. So the Lord started to just tap on my heart. Girl, it's time. You need to get back to church. And I remember going to Matt, and we were not married yet. We were living together, planning to be married someday, you know. And I remember saying to him, you know, I think I need to go to church. And I remember him looking at me like, and he said, well, go ahead. Which was so not the answer I was looking for. And when he tells the story, he was totally into NASCAR at the time, and that was on Sundays. He was like, well, go ahead, I'll be here watching NASCAR when you get home, you know? But he's an amazing guy, and so he came with me. And we had gotten engaged at that time, and we were trying to plan our wedding, and we were trying to find someone who would marry us. And I remember calling one of my old pastors, and I hadn't talked to him in years, and he is the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Casa Grande. And I called him up, and I said, hey, Dave, this is Shannon. He goes, hey, how you doing? Oh, good. Hey, I want to get married. I want to know if you'll do the wedding. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. I would be honored and blessed. And I said, I got to tell you something first. So, Matt doesn't know the Lord, and we're living together, and I'm not walking with the Lord, and I just want to be honest with you, you know. And he goes, I need to pray about this. I said, okay. So we hung up the phone, and about 3 weeks went by, and I was sweating, thinking, he's going to say no. And he said, you guys need to meet with me. And he asked us, were you going to church? Are you going to church? No. Well, we tried once. We went to that one big Calvary, but we didn't like it. What didn't you like about it? Well, he was talking about living together before you're married. Like, and he really did. And it's this huge church, and we just felt like the only ones in the room. Sitting there like, oh, my goodness. And I remember leaving and looking at Matt and saying, so what'd you think? He's like, I didn't like that at all. So he said, you guys should try Clay Camp's church. And I thought, Clay Camp? Why does that, I know that name. I went to Bible college with Jesse Clay Camp. So he said, go, just try it out. So we went, and we really liked it. And we were getting married actually like the next week, and got married, went back. We started attending regularly. And in March of 2001, I rededicated my life to Christ, and my husband accepted the Lord on the same day. Tissues are going to come out here in a second. Hosea 2:20 says, I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. And God started to reveal himself to me like never before. And I had a hunger for his word, and I couldn't get enough of it. And every time the doors were open at church, we wanted to be there. And every Bible study, we wanted to be there. And something just started happening in my heart that never happened before. I had gone to Bible college, remember? I had been a missionary. But God just started to do this work in me. He started to show me so much of his heart. And what started happening is that my roots started to go down deep. Finally, I started getting rooted in who God was. But it's really interesting when that happens, because as you get closer to the Lord, you start seeing more of your own ugliness. And it's not a bad thing. It's just the Lord refining us and showing us those areas where you got to work on these things. And so God started to show me I have more to do. I'm not done. I have more to do. So all those feelings I had of being unlovable and unwanted and rejected and abandoned, they still plagued me sometimes. They still messed with me all the time. And I was so insecure, and I realized it had so much to do with my dad never really being a part of my life. But every time that would come up, I would think, that's so silly. You know, I'm over it. I was a kid. I'm grown now. Like, I'm over it. Whatever. It happened. It's done. It's in the past. It doesn't matter. But it did matter. It did matter. Well, now to make matters worse, as I'm grown, now I'm bitter, and I'm angry, and I'm unforgiving when it comes to my dad, and when it comes to my abuse, and those things that happened to me as a kid that caused all of these feelings of being unwanted and unlovable and all of these things, all this shame. But I would pray and I would say, Lord, search my heart. Show me anything in my heart that doesn't please you. But not that part. Not that part, Lord. And every time those feelings would start to come up and those things would start to come up, I would just like stiff arm it. Nope, not going to go there. And I hear a teaching, it would make me start to feel those feelings. Like, nope, I'm not dealing with that. La, 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 la. Not doing it. Not going there, Lord. Not there. And it's like when you have a hurt arm. It's like, touch me anywhere, but don't touch me right here because this is where I hurt the worst. This is where I hurt the most. So don't touch this spot. And that's how I was with the Lord. I had these areas of my heart that had hurt so much for so long that any time I started to go there, it just hurt too much. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to relive those things. I didn't want to rehash those things. I'm over it. I'm good. Sweep it under the rug a little bit more. Put a Band-Aid on it. It's going to go away. But God just kept at my heart, kindly like he does, gently like he does, because it grieved his heart. It grieves the Lord's heart when we don't allow him into those places. If you're a mother in this room or a grandmother or an aunt or whatever, if your child is hurting and they don't allow you to comfort them, it hurts your heart. And that's what I was doing with the Lord. I was doing that with the Lord. There was this day, though, when my husband took the kids, and I have no idea where they went. I was just glad that I had the house to myself. You know what I'm talking about. And I decided I just really needed to spend some time with the Lord. And I remember sitting down and just reading his word, and I just started to weep. And it was just this guttural weeping, the ugly cry. You guys know what I mean. And I couldn't even put words to it. I didn't even know why I was crying. I didn't even know where it was coming from. It was just deep, and it hurt. It hurt. And I just remember I couldn't even say anything. I was just going, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please. I was just in a puddle in my living room. And it was amazing because in this moment, I did not hear the Lord's voice audibly. He didn't speak down from the heavens, but in my heart he said, daughter. And you know, for a girl who was abandoned by her father and felt unwanted and unloved, just that word was enough. But he said, daughter, there's healing in my wings. And I just sat there going, what? And then this came to my heart. Do you know how many times I've wanted to hold you in my wings, but you will not let me? Just like that verse, you know, when Jesus was saying that, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you will not let me. But God was speaking this to me. Daughter, you won't let me. I was holding on to all of these hurts, and I was not allowing the Lord to go there. And he is a gentleman, and he will wait patiently. And so I sat there, and it's like I just let go. I just released it. And I remember sitting in this puddle of tears and not saying anything, but being so sure of how much I was loved in that moment, like I had never felt before. He was sharing a part of his heart that I didn't know all those years before. That part of his heart that says, I hurt where you hurt, but if you just let me get there, just let me go there, I can comfort you. You've searched the world. You've searched people. You've searched things, and you haven't found it. it's right here. I got it. I want to share it with you. So I realize his heart of love for me. Psalm 34, 17 and 18 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirits are crushed. And he was so near to me in that moment when my heart was so broken. Now, my story could end right there, and it would be awesome, right? It would be awesome. But our God is so much bigger than that. And he's at work in ways that we never even dream possible. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And that's what God was doing. Something exceedingly abundantly greater than I could even think or imagine was happening. I was just happy. I was being healed. I'm just walking with Jesus, knowing that he loves me and he's crazy about me, and it's awesome. But about 6 months after that, the Lord began to tap on my heart again. There's more work to be done. What? I was secure in God's love for me. I had received all this healing from the Lord. But now it was time for me to forgive. That's hard. It was time for me to forgive. And I thought, I have every right to be angry, Lord. It's justified anger. But you know, I've heard it taught that bitterness is a funny thing. Not funny, haha, but bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It doesn't hurt the other person at all, but it'll kill you inside. And even though I knew how much the Lord loved me and I was enjoying my walk with him, I still had that. And if someone said something about my, you know, my dad, or if I thought about it, I was like, over that. Don't need him. His loss. These are the things that were coming out of my mouth. You know, he had his chance. I'm 37 years old. I don't need that. That was in the past. But God started to show me and take away my excuses when he reminded me of how much I had been forgiven and how much I didn't deserve it. He started to show me that as a believer in Jesus Christ, it was my responsibility to extend forgiveness to my dad. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, and instead be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And I remember sitting there and thinking, no, if I forgive him, I'm saying it was okay. I'm saying it's okay that you ignored me my whole life. It's okay. If I forgive my abusers, it's like saying what you did is okay. I'm not going to say that. No way. But the Lord started to work on my heart. And as I was in prayer, again, not an audible voice, but this is what the Lord spoke so clearly to my heart. What if your dad's shame is keeping him from the cross? It gives me chills even now. I thought, what? What if your dad's shame is keeping him from the cross? I thought, Lord, I don't want to be responsible for that. I don't want him to live his life regretting what he did to me and it keep him from you. Wow, that's heavy. And so I sat down. My husband had gone to a funeral. I had had back surgery, and I couldn't go anywhere. I was stuck at home. And my husband had gone to a funeral with his mom, and God just said, write the letter. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's been 37 years. What do you say? I don't even know. So I just got a pen, I started writing, and it just came. It just came. And it was like 4 pages long. And I said, Dad, this is what happened in my life. This is how I felt. This is how I was hurt. This is how I was angry. This is how it formed the thoughts of me. But you know what? I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgave me of my sins. He died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, and he died on the cross to forgive you of your sin. And I don't know you, and I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you're at, and I don't even know if you believe in God. But I have to tell you, he loves you. And he will forgive you of your sins, and I forgive you. And in that letter, I said, I'm not saying I want a relationship with you. You know, I had my boundaries, and I had my walls up, and I was all ready for this battle. And I was really guarding my heart. The whole time, I'm thinking, what if I never one time get a response from him? What if? What if I send this letter and I get a nasty letter back? You know, could happen. But I had to be faithful and I had to obey the Lord. And so I wrote the letter. I had my best friend read it. I'm like, you need to read this. Tell me what I need to change. She said, Shannon, do not change a single word. Send it just like this. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit and you need to send it today. I said, you got to come with me. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can drop that in the mail. I can't. I'm scared. I'm really scared. I don't want to be rejected again. I don't want to be hurt again. Like, right? I put those walls there for a reason. I don't want to go there. And I remember my husband coming home, and there must have been a look on my face because he walked in, started to walk by, and he's like, what? What's going on? I'm like, I wrote a letter. He says, oh. To who? I said, I couldn't even say it. I said, Missouri. He's like, what? Because he knows Dad lives in Missouri. I couldn't even say my dad. I just said, Missouri. He was like, really? I said, God told me to. I have to forgive him. And he was just like, wow. Because now this man has walked through all of this with me. He knew how much I hurt. He saw the effects of that insecurity more than anyone else in my life had seen it. It was hard for him at that moment to think of me forgiving my dad because he had some anger in him too, right? Because I'm his girl and I was hurt. So I sent the letter. And no lie, 3 days later, I get a letter back. And the letter says, I have had this letter typed on my computer for a year. I just couldn't send it. So he said, I just wanted to get you something in the mail, but know that I'm working on another letter. So it was really short. A couple days later, I get a letter that's like 8 pages long, handwritten, that is just like, full of, he told me everything about his life, everything about everything. I mean, stuff I never even thought I wanted to know, he told me. A couple of days later, I get a card in the mail. A few days later, I get a needlepoint that my grandmother had made in the mail. A few days after that, I get a photo album that he had put together of pictures of me and him when I was a baby. It opened this door that was like, crazy. It was crazy. Remember that verse? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think there would be reconciliation there. So I still wasn't comfortable with talking on the phone. Like I'm telling you, I had all these things in place. Okay, well, you can write me, but you can't call me. And you know, I'll write you first and then you can write me back. I mean, I just was so scared. But love is an amazing thing. And as I started to see his heart of love for me, that even though all these years had passed, it was his shame. It was his shame. He felt so guilty for never being a part of my life, that he didn't know how he could ever get there. And so we started talking on the phone, and then that Christmas he sent my kids, you know, Christmas presents, and we all of a sudden started to build this relationship. And in that Christmas, actually, his wife and his two kids blessed him with airfare and hotel to come to Phoenix to see me and to meet my family. Talk about scary. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget the day, that day. It was like a Monday. And Matt went to work, and the kids went to school. And I was just waiting for that phone call for him to say, I'm on my way to your house. And I remember sitting on the couch thinking, how am I going to act? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Am I going to be mad? Am I going to want to hug him? I don't even know. I have no idea. And the car pulls up, and he gets out. And I recognized him. I had seen him over the years, and that's a part of my story I didn't mention. But I had seen him over the years because his mother was a wonderful grandma to me. And so I had seen him over the years a little bit. She'd take me back to Missouri, and I'd see him. And then I'd leave, and I'd never hear from him again. You know, talk about pouring salt in the wound. But he got out of the car, and he comes around, and I just jumped off of my couch, and I ran outside, and we hugged for what seemed like an hour, and we just wept. We just wept. And we went into the house and sat on the couches, and we just kept crying and talking, and he stayed for a week, not at my house, but at a hotel. We had baby steps. It was the most amazing time. And he came to Bible study. He came to church. He came to our home fellowship. He knows the Lord now.
Wow.
He flew me and my family out last year for summer to spend some time with them. And my sister and I have an amazing relationship. And she knows the Lord now. She actually just dedicated their kids last Sunday at church. And God, but God, right? We think he's working here, right here. And he's working here. He is doing such amazing things all the time. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And that is what he has done. And my dad texts me. He sends me a text probably, I don't know, maybe once a week. And he'll just say, I love you. I'm just thinking about you. I'm crazy about you. I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done. You just go, wow. Wow, Lord. That's how big you are. You're so big. The healing that brought to my heart and to my life, I can't even put words to. I can't even put words to it. But it's because of that deep place where God brought me in my relationship with him. Because when your roots go down deep and God starts to do that work, when he's saying, hey, this area, you got to let me in. When you know him, you trust him. And we know that he has good things for us. And we know he's not going to put us in a place where we're in harm's way or we're hurt. And, you know, he doesn't mean bad things for us. He has great plans for his children. And so to walk through that and know, my God has got my back. He's got my back. In closing, as I was studying, I just came upon this, and you guys have all heard it, but it's really my story in a nutshell. So Isaiah 61:1-3 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And when God does these things and he gives us these stories, it's not so we can be quiet about it. It's not so we can keep it to ourselves. It's so we can share it. Because the hope that I hope that you get from my story is that God is able. He is able. There is nothing too broken for him to fix. He can take ashes and make beauty. He can breathe life into things that are dead. The world would have looked at that relationship with my dad and said, forget it, it's done. But God. So in closing, what about you? Do you have a God story? If you're sitting here tonight and you don't have a God story, he has one in store for you. He has one in store for you. He just wants an open heart, a willing heart. Are you discouraged or losing hope because you have a loved one that's wayward? God's not done. He is faithful to complete the work he has started. He leaves those 99 and he searches for that one that's lost. He does. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. God is faithful. He's faithful. Are you harboring unforgiveness or bitterness for someone who's hurt you? You have a right to be angry, but God has a work to do. He has healing for you. Don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. Let the Lord heal you. Let him go to those places where you don't want him to go because it hurts. But he's gentle and loving and kind, and he's the healer, and he's able to heal. Or maybe you just need to go to that deep place with the Lord in your walk. He's waiting. He's ready. He's just waiting for us to go there. He's ready. And he'll take you to places that are so deep and awesome in his presence, where you have that fullness of joy. Sometimes we live like we're paupers. And we're so rich. God has given us so much. And we settle for the crumbs. Why do we do that? I don't know. But we do. He's got this whole feast, and we go, oh, I'll just take this little piece. And I'll just walk with this little piece. And he goes, oh, if you just take it all, you know? God is waiting. He's ready to heal, to forgive, to restore. And my story is one of great restoration. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray with you guys. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God, that you can do what no man can do. That you are able, God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think or imagine, Lord. Continue, God, to do that work in us. Continue to bring us to those deep places, Lord, where only you can heal, only you can rebuild. Lord, thank you that you never, ever give up on us. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for each and every woman in this room, Lord. I pray, God, that you would reveal to our hearts, Lord, maybe those areas that we need to let go of. Maybe those places of hurt, God, where we're scared to be touched, Lord, but you are ready to heal, ready to restore, ready to comfort. I just lift up each and every woman here, and I pray, God, that you'd meet them in such a special way, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Thank you.
I just want to ask if anybody that's here tonight needs prayer. I know Shannon is going to be here, and I'll be here. I know that there are a lot of leaders here. You might not know who those leaders are. You might be new here tonight, but myself or Shannon is going to be here up here in the front. If you need prayer for any of those things, if you want someone to lay hands on you tonight and pray, maybe you want to seek the Lord with all your heart tonight, and tonight's the night that you want to make him your Lord, we're here to pray with you. If you need prayer for that bitterness to be uprooted out of your heart, Lord, we can pray with you. So we will be here, and you are allowed to go and eat all those desserts that are right there. Hang out and chat, and we'll be here. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next month.